Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrita Narancheva Narottama Devim Saraswati Vyansa Tato Jaya Mudirai Nascha Payesa Bhadresu Nityam Bhagavata Sevai Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhakti Bhavaiti Naistiki. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 4, Text 22. Dhammatma, can you help to recite it? The text? Can you help to recite? And then he also read a purport, because I'm having some problem with my glasses. Matajis.
Word for word meaning, Yavat, as long as,
as long as
Atahasmi, I am now being killed
by others.
Antasmi, I am the killer
of others.
Iti thus.
Atmanam,
own self.
Manyate,
he considers.
Aswatrik,
one who has not seen himself.
Because of the darkness
of the bodily conception of life.
Tavat,
for that long.
Tat abhimani,
regarding itself. As the killed.
Or the killer.
Antyaha.
A foolish person.
Bhadra-bhadra-katam.
The worldly transaction.
Of being obliged.
To execute some responsibility.
Continues.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Translation. In the bodily conception of life, one remains in darkness, without self-realization, thinking, I am being killed, or I have killed my enemies. As long as a foolish person thus considers the self to be the killer or the killed, he continues to be responsible for material obligations, and consequently he suffers the reactions of happiness and distress. Purport. By the grace of the Lord comes a felt sincere regret for having unnecessarily persecuted such Vaishnavas as Devaki and Vasudeva, and thus he came to the transcendental stage of knowledge. Because I am situated on the platform of knowledge, Kamsa said, understanding that I am not at all the killer of your sons, I have no responsibility for their death. As long as I thought that I would be killed by your son, I was in ignorance. But now I am free from this ignorance, which was due to a bodily conception of life. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18:17, yasya naham krito bhavo buddhir yasya nalipyate hatapi sa imal lokan na anti na nivadhate. One who is not motivated by false ego, whose intelligence is not entangled, though he kills men in this world, is not the slayer, nor is he bound by his actions. According to the axiomatic truth, Kamsa pleaded that he was not responsible for having killed the sons of Devaki and Vasudeva. Please try to excuse me for such false external activities, he said, and he pacified with this same knowledge. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Om Gyanam Shimirandasya, Gyanam Jana Salvakaya, Saksur Melitam Jena Tasmai, Si Gorave Namaha, Sachetaya Manumabhista, Stavhetam Jena Bhutale, Swayam Rupam Kadamayam, Dadati Sva Padantika. Panchakalpatarigacha, Kalpa Sunabhya Evacha, Patitanam, Pavanabhya, Vaishnabhya, Pamanam. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale, Simate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Etana, Namaste Sarasvati Devi, Gauravani Pachari, Anirvisesa Sanyavadi, Asabjati Satari. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadarara Sri Vasada Sri Gaura Bhaktivedanta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So, I'd like to thank the authorities for giving me this service to be able to be part of this morning program. And essentially, what Kamsa basically presents here is defensive pacification. Defensive pacification. We may do something, and we're not done well, it's not right. And because the condition soul is basically characterized by defense. Ahara nidabhaya. Bhaya means defense. So we are, this is something ingrained in us. We might look at Kamsa and say, what? You kill your nephews? And now you're saying you're not responsible? You're quoting Shastra to defend yourself. We can all do that. So that very Kamsa who existed in Mathura over 5,000 years ago, that was localized Kamsa. But there is pervasive cancer, which is characterized by power play. And if you want power, you have to defend your territory. When cancer had, by the way, let's go back, retrospective. One may wonder, how come Ugrasena is a very holy person? But he gave birth to this person who is killing, or who was killing, or who killed his own nephews. How come? There was a conversation between Kamsa and Narada Muni in the Hansadutta. Narada Muni visited Kamsa one time. And traditionally, you know, when a sage visits the king, they satisfy them, they serve them nicely. And then they asked for some blessings. Another morning, you know, is a catalyst. A catalyst is a substance or an element with that expedites chemical reactions. So another morning is like a catalyst personality. And in a conversation with Kamsa, he told Kamsa, this was narrated in the Hansadutta, he told Kamsa, you know, this King Ugrasena, you know that he's not your father? Kamsa said, what? Tell me. So Nara gave him the whole story of how Padmavati and other ladies went out to the mountains, and one Dhanava, after seeing the beauty of Aparnavati, he couldn't contain himself. And the Dhanavas, they have mystic cities. If a Dhanava knows who the husband of this lady is, and he's attracted to this lady, he could take that form. That's what exactly the original father of Kamsa did. And after defying Padmavati, she got impregnated with Kamsa. So Narada told all of this story, and that was the beginning of Kamsa's hatred and persecution of his own mother and his parents. So Kamsa was basically not from the blood of not a production of King Ugrasena. So here Kamsa characterizes that personality who does something really atrocious. In fact, the Krishna Balaram Kuja is his Radha Samasunda Guru and Tai Kuja. In fact, the chapter itself, the title of the chapter is The Atrocities of Kamsa. So Kamsa does something very atrocious, very criminal. Not just sinful, criminal. Because there's a difference between sin and crime. Sometimes, you know, the both of them are bad. But according to different cultures, for instance, in most parts of America, illicit sex, you know, is cultural. People are proud. This is even elderly people say, this is my boyfriend, this is my girlfriend. So, according to different cultures, something considered sin may not be a crime. In some cultures. But in some cases, a crime or a sin is in itself a crime. So here Kamsa killed. This is murder. And it's a big thing in the 21st century. And so, after killing his own nephews, he comes to present philosophy. He tries to defend himself with philosophy. Philosophy is so cheap. Anyone can become a philosopher. Anyone can philosophize. But what about the practice? That is the most difficult aspect of philosophy. In fact, Lord Krishna indicated that if a person even practices one verse in the Bhagavad Gita, he could attain perfection. So the practice is what is most important to us, because anyone can preach. Anyone can speak very nicely. I personally know of people who are very big preachers, but they beat their wives heavily. They beat their wives and their children heavily. So, and anyone can give the impression, like Kamsa, that look, I'm not responsible for this because I'm not the doer anyway. So there is this tendency of the conditioned soul to do something atrocious, to do something that is not in line with the constitution or even with the scriptures. When any person comes back to say, you know, This is your karma. Okay, I know it's my karma, but why be the agent to expedite it? And that's why the laws of nature, proper mentions, they're so stringent. So, we'll find that the so-called demoniac tendencies that we read in the scriptures, a number of us are bearers of same tendencies. This type of rationalization. I do something wrong and I use the scriptures to defend myself. In fact, anyone can do anything and use the scriptures as a defense. Even meat eating is allowed. If you read the Vedas, there are some parts, some sections of the Veda that allows meat eating. So you can just pick up something from one portion of the Vedic literature and say, look, this is there in the Vedas. But what is not hurtful to people is what should be considered. Yeah. If someone considers himself to be killed or the killer, yeah, what comes to said is true. But what about his mindset? Or we can assume a position that we are not. Okay, for instance, if you read the Bhagavatam, Mother Kunti was praying for miseries. But I'm not on that platform. I cannot pray for miseries. I cannot imitate Mother Kunti. Yet for the Paramahamsas, whatever they do, they are guided by the Lord. But I am not a Paramahamsa. I'm a conditioned soul. And therefore, what is to be considered for execution has to be weighed on the scale of ethics and spirituality. Is it something that hurts people? Is it something that hurts the victim or the receiver? Or is it something that placates the situation that someone is facing? So, this is a very good text for devoted practitioners, because it gives us an insight. And it provides an awareness how we should be careful using the philosophy, not to use the philosophy for defensive pacification. We can be very persuasive based on the scriptural philosophy. But again, the point is, what is our mindset? In other words, who benefits from this action? Is it Krishna who benefits from this action? Kamsa speaks philosophy, but he wanted to kill Krishna. Kamsa speaks very high philosophy, but he sent Sankarsuda to kidnap Radharani for himself. Because Arista and Casey at Surat, they had told Kamsa about the beauty of Radharani. And Arista said, that girl is meant for you. This is delineated in the Lalita Madhava. And so Kamsa sent Sankashvita to go and kidnap Radharani. In fact, when Sankashvita went to the arena of the rendezvous, he shone like this, like the sun god. In fact, one of the gopis told Poonamasi and the other gopis that, hey, because of Radharani's devotion to the sun god has appeared. Here is the sun god. Poonamasi, who knew everything else, said, who told you that that's the sun god? That's a demon. So again, to identify the truth based on external values could be very difficult. And so, when Sankashuddha tried to, she actually succeeded in kidnapping Radharani, according to Lalita Madhava. But when the gopis were in disarray and they called out for Krishna, and Krishna came, Sankashuddha left Radharani and faced Krishna for a fight, trying to exterminate him. But Krishna very easily killed him and rescued Radharani. But Sankashuddha did not come for his own satisfaction by the order of the king Kamsa. Kamsa wanted Radharani, wanted to enjoy Radharani. And so we see that the Paramahamsas do one thing, they say one thing, but for what? For who? For the satisfaction of Krishna. Now, antithetically, one who is imbued with phenomenological mindset, they do everything else. They speak very nice philosophy like Kamsa is doing. But for who? For their own satisfaction. For their own defense. And therefore, it is essential for us to understand the difference between the practitioner and the philosopher. And essentially what Prabhupada wanted us to be is that we should know the philosophy and at the same time we should be practitioners. So that creates a very good balance. Because then you don't say something and then someone comes to challenge you. What about you? You said this, but what about you? I mean, it's like when on the battle of Kurukshetra, when Bhishma Dev was on his bed of arrows, and when it was during his final days, final hours, and he was speaking about leadership. See, in the Vedic culture, women are very conservative. And Bhishma Dev was a great hero. But a woman challenged him. And who was that? Huh? You are afraid to say it? Huh? Not Shikhandi. Draupadi challenged him. Draupadi said, you are speaking this big leadership philosophy. I was being derobed in the assembly, in your presence. What did you do?
practice.
Bhishma pacified Draupadi. He was outrightly sincere. He said, at that time I was being fed by Duryodhana. My blood at that time was contaminated. I was polluted. Pathological state of consciousness. I was not by myself. But now, on this bed of arrows, that blood has oozed out. I'm purified. Therefore, I can speak. So here is the difference. Someone who is not purified, he says one thing, and you take his words, he will go back and do the same thing. That's what cancer did. So the cancer mentality is all pervasive in the 21st century. And Prabhupada has given us an armor, a system where we can protect ourselves from the cancer mentality by a process of gradual purification, so that we can, in America we say, walk your talk. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions?
So Kamsa was blaming the activities of killing the children of Providence, or who was he blaming? He said, I'm not to blame for... he said that he was in ignorance during that time, then he came into knowledge. So he was expressing his knowledge by stating that I am not really at fault for killing the children. How is that knowledge? Or are we recognizing that what we do, that Krishna is at blame for everything? Who's at blame?
That was ultimately whatever that happens. Yes, we are not a doer. Okay. We're just being used as an instrument. But in fact, Lord Krishna mentions that without not even a blade of grass moves without the sanction. I mean, in the Brahma Samhita, not even a blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Lord. And even in the Gita, Lord Krishna mentioned that everything is moving and unmoving. Everything basically, he formalizes and ordains everything to take place. But the point here is, if he ordains everything to take place, who is responsible? Who takes the karma? Krishna? No. So we have a particular desire, and Krishna fulfills our desire. A thief, an armed robber, before he goes to rob, he prays or she prays to God. An armed guy, they pray to God, their God, very seriously. For them to succeed, they pray. And then they go to rob, they succeed. Who bears the blame? They are just instruments used in robbery by dint of the complex laws of, you know, retribution. But will they go to the court and say, we are just, being used and accomplished in executing the will of nature? Because it's this person's karma that at this time he will be robbed, and we are just being used as an instrument. So I'm not the cause. The judge will say yes. If the judge is a transcendentalist, he will say yes, it is true. But why be an instrument for an atrocity. So yeah, Kamsa ultimately may not be blamed, because if we look back, it's a drama. Kamsa is just, he's playing the role, he's playing his role. But then, what lessons do we learn from this type of transcendental theatrical performance? That's the point. I mean, it's like we hear the philosophy, and sometimes it makes our heart to be so hard that someone is suffering and we don't care. We say, come on, that's your karma. You don't know? That's your karma, you know? But does this hurt the person, or does it pacify the person? So Kamsa, there are the good examples here, okay, in Kamsa's pacification. When something bad happens to someone, do we try to pacify the person? So yeah, your question. Ultimately, Kamsa is not to blame. It's been arranged by higher powers. But I mean, like I mentioned, it's like a drama, a theater on a stage. Each and everybody plays their role, part of the crew, they play their role. But we are responsible for our actions. And having that higher understanding, we should put ourselves in the shoes of others. That's what Kamsa was regretting afterwards. The important thing is, we don't go back. If we do something, we can rectify ourselves as long as we don't go back to do that same thing. And that's the whole thing about initiation. When people take initiation, they take a vow before the deities, the guru, and assemble devotees. So the Kamsa mindset has a lot of lessons to learn from. In fact, this chapter, you see also how Kamsa identifies with the family. He had faith. But faith in what? If he truly regrets, if he was truly remorseful, did he go on after that to perpetuate other atrocities? That's the point. Because there is no purification. So we may realize something. And because there is no clarity of purpose and our heart is not clean, we may go back to do that same thing. And therefore Prabhupada has provided us a very good setting, community, that we can depend on each other. And depend on the Guru Parampara system. Service to the devotees is the most important thing, according to Lord Krishna in the Padma Purana. Krishna mentions that those who say they are his devotees, they're not. One who is a devotee of, one who serves his devotee, that is to be appreciated by himself, by the Lord. So essentially, we see that even Sukracharya, who knows philosophy more than Sukracharya, but he was spiritual master of the demigods, of the demons. He defended the demons. So our status quo can be changed with purification. Any other comments or questions? Did I address the question?
Sometimes a person who kills someone, the lawyer will say, well, he's insane. Because of insanity, you cannot punish him. Or people who commit crimes, they're put into jail. So they are held responsible for the act of breaking the law. So, but he's just trying, I think Constance is trying to fill this, you know, on a high level philosophically, show that he's not really responsible, but, you know, like I said, not a blade of grass moves without Krishna's sanction. So ultimately, Mother Nature, God is responsible. I'm the instrument, but why? But the instrument is being punished by the law for breaking the law. You know, I mean, we may try to go on a higher level.
Yeah.
So Constance is trying to be very smart here. So.
He's smart. Now these days, insanity is a big defense. One boy just killed his mother. Another one killed his mother and his father. The one who killed his mother and his father, he was in the Marines. And he came back, he's 30 years old. His parents were 50 something years. And he was living with his parents. One day, his parents were asleep. They had a dog, family dog. His parents were asleep. And he carried his gun. And he went to kill his parents. He went to kill the mother and the father. And killed the dog. And he went to the cops and reported himself. This is what I did. So he was put to jail. Another boy just recently, 2 days ago or so, again in America, 22 years old, he killed his mother. And when he was arrested, he started, you know, pulling his dresses down. And then he was sent in for psychiatric examination. So yeah, you know, insanity is a big thing now as a defense. But then the whole thing is so complex that material nature, like Papa always mentioned, the laws of material nature, they are so stringent. Even as a child, you commit a crime and you reckon for it. So, the material world is just a complex place. This is the point. The material world is just a complex place. The best thing is to finish our business and get out.
I'm going to tell the story that one person was condemned to death for killing someone, but he claimed insanity. They called an expert in, and the expert said, as far as my observation is that everyone is crazy. So I think everybody in the material world is crazy, right? We're all suffering the reactions of our karma.
Yeah.
Great. As you said at the beginning, you can back up anything by using the Shastra, because the other side of it is we know how many people are responsible for the killing of a cow? The person who kills it, the person who transports it, the person that cooks it, the person that eats it. So we see this with ourselves. We can use the philosophy to try to adjust activities. He's using every angle possible, also.
Yeah. Thank you. Any last comment? We have about 1 minute or 2 minutes more.
Well, thank you. I see this class as only personalized. Take away from that.
Then you should not eat this morning.
No.
You're welcome. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, jai.